Acts 27. When it had been decided that we should sail to Italy, they handed over Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion called Julius of the Augustan cohort. We boarded a vessel from Adamitum, bound for ports on the coast of Asia, and put to sea. We had Aristarchus with us, a Macedonian of Thessalonica. Next day, we put in at Sidon, and Julius was considerate enough to allow Paul to go to his friends and be looked after. From there we put to sea again, and as the winds were against us, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus, then across the open sea off Cilicia and Pamphylia to Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship leaving for Italy and put us aboard. For some days we made little headway, and we had difficulty in making Cnidus. As the wind was against us, we sailed under the lee of Crete off Salome and struggled along the coast until we came to a place called Fair Havens near the town of Lazia. A great deal of time had been lost, and navigation was already hazardous since it was now well after the time of the fast. So Paul gave them this warning: "Friends, I can see this voyage risks bringing damage and heavy loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives as well." But the centurion took more notice of the captain and the ship's owner than of what Paul was saying. And since the harbour was unsuitable for wintering, the majority were for putting out from there in the hope of wintering at Phoenix, a harbour in Crete facing southwest and northwest. A southerly breeze sprang up, and thinking their objective as good as reached, they weighed anchor and began to sail past Crete, close inshore. But it was not long before a hurricane, the northeaster as they call it, burst on them from across the island. The ship was caught and could not keep head to wind, so we had to give way to the wind and let ourselves be driven. We ran under the lee of a small island called Corda and managed with some difficulty to bring the ship's boat under control. Having hauled it up, they used it to undergird the ship. Then, afraid of running aground on the citrus banks, they floated out the sea anchor and so let themselves drift. As we were thoroughly stormbound, the next day they began to jettison the cargo, and the third day they threw the ship's gear overboard with their own hands. Both the sun and the stars were invisible for a number of days, and the storm raged unabated, until at last we gave up all hope of survival. Then, when they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among the men, saying, "Friends, you should have listened to me and not put out from Crete. You would have spared yourselves all this damage and loss. But now I encourage you to keep up your courage. There will be no loss of life among you, only of the ship. Last night, there stood beside me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You are destined to appear before Caesar, and God grants you the safety of all who are sailing with you. So take courage, friends. I trust in God that things will turn out just as I was told, for we are to be thrown up onto some island.' On the 14th night, we were being driven one way and another in the Adriatic, when about midnight, the crew began to suspect that land was getting close. They took soundings and found 20 fathoms. After a short interval, they sounded again and found 15 fathoms. Then, afraid that we might be thrown up somewhere onto a reef, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. When the crew tried to escape from the ship and lowered the ship's boat into the sea, so they meant to lay out anchors from the bows, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, 'Unless those men stay on board, you cannot be saved.' So the soldiers cut the boat's ropes and let it go. Just before daybreak, Paul urged them all to have something to eat, saying, 'For 14 days you have been in suspense, going hungry and eating nothing. I urge you to have something to eat. Your safety depends on it. Not a hair of any of your heads will be lost.' With these words, he took some bread, gave thanks to God in view of them all, broke it, and began to eat. They all plucked up courage and took something to eat themselves. In all, we were 276 souls on board that ship. When they had eaten what they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the wheat overboard into the sea. When day came, they did not recognize the land, but they could make out a bay with a beach. They planned to run the ship aground on this if they could. They slipped the anchors and let them fall into the sea. and at that same time loosened the lashings of the rudders. Then, hoisting the foresail to the wind, they headed for the beach. But coming on a place of cross currents, they ran the ship aground. The bows were wedged in and stuck fast, while the stern began to break up under the force of the waves. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners for fear that any should swim off and escape, but the centurion, wanting to keep Paul safe, prevented them carrying out their plan. He gave orders that those who could swim should jump overboard first and so get ashore, and the rest followed, some on planks, others on pieces of the ship. In this way it happened that all came safely to land.